All right, Psalm number 16. You know, again, I tell you how the Lord just blesses a faithful walk with Him. As a great encouragement by David's testimony, and I know some of you reading your Word daily, but just how God really stirred him to commit himself to reading the Word of God daily. And I've just been amazed at how, I've told you several times that I know from since I was born again, I try to read a psalm, corresponding psalm and proverb for the day of the month. So on the 16th of January, I was reading my Bible, and this really jumped off the page, and I found it's really one of those truths that really are guiding me and helping me, and I hope it'll be an encouragement and one of those things to kind of keep your life in focus, and because everything tries to grab our attention, just like I mentioned, you know, everything outside this door is not going to try to get you to see the behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, everything will try to get you to see either discouragement or see the beauty in yourself, which, guess what, I got bad news for you, that's going to fade with time and so, but that eternal body that takes over is so much better than anything you ever see. But so Psalm number 16, I'm going to call this today, and you'll see from the verse here, when the Lord is always before me, when the Lord is always before me. And Psalm 16, beginning verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God, that it does say this. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Now, this psalm had a lot of meaning to me. I'll never forget when I was hanging live turkeys about 20-some-odd years ago. I went to work, and some of the guys had we had a work staff, I may share with you this, most were inmates busting from the prison. And some of the guys had just got out of prison, and they were out of jail. They had apartments, so they were no longer coming on the bus. And so they worked alongside of me. They had a place to live in the community. And so we got word that morning that the bus from the prison was broke down. And we normally had a staff of like 15 people, and we were going to have 6 people to unload a truck of turkeys. And I know that means nothing to you because you hadn't really tried it, but it's tough enough with 15. And I walked in the door, and it says, "Rev, we got to have some prayer, man. We just have the trust coming. We need a word from the Lord, you know." And I was reading Psalm 16 that day, so my Bible, and all those guys and the supervisor said, "Here it is right here. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." And we worked for about 2 hours, and the bus had eventually made it, you know, and they praised God for what he did and for the prayer, amen. So God can do a lot. He can turn a bad situation good. But he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." And you know, and it really encouraged me because don't be just faithless to God. You never realize how in a moment you could be called upon to be encouragement to somebody's day. And just by being in my Bible that day, and man, I could have read it at night. There's no magic to that time I read it. But just by being in my Bible that morning, I was able to give some hope and some vision. And they followed my lead. I said, "Well, we're going to do our best I can and trust God for help." We kept the line full until the guys got there by some miracle of God. So stay in the Word, amen. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth." Speaking to those of us who are born again, and encouraging those who are not born again to be born again. "And to the excellent in whom is all my delight, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into thy lips. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance and of my lot. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. And Lord, you know what will have to take place for all of us to hear thy Word today. So I pray you'll do it to the honor and glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this privilege to talk to you in prayer. Amen. If you're taking notes, first thing I want you to notice, the Lord is, when David makes an amazing statement here, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. So number one, when the Lord is always before me, the Lord is before me because I have set him before me. You know, nothing can change the fact that God is the Lord. Whether we embrace it or believe it, God is still the Lord. It's just kind of like those of us that drive, every time we get on the highway, we know the authority that governs that road. And we make a choice whether we recognize those numbers on the side of the road as the authority, or we determine our own authority. And God is the Lord. He's the governing body. And if you ever had this happen to you, sometimes you think that those numbers on the side of the road don't mean anything to you. Somebody stops you and lets you know that they actually do mean something, that road didn't belong to us, and that we really don't have the right to drive at whatever speed we feel comfortable with. You know? And sometimes they're polite about it, sometimes they're not polite about it. But see, the Lord is always the Lord. But David says here, I've always set the Lord before me. So he says, I made a conscious decision to recognize who God is and set him before my will, to set him before my way, to set him before my fears, and listen to this one, to set him before my failures. There's many people can't do anything for God because they look at their failures all their life. And the list goes on and on. Whatever you may be struggling with, ask yourself, is the Lord before that? And David said, I have done this. I have set the Lord always before me. And I made this decision. I know he's the Lord because he refers to him as the Lord. And Lord is not just some light term, by the way. I mean, Lord means he's the one that runs everything. He's the Almighty. He's the ruler of everything. So when David says Lord, he's not just talking about some God that we might mention in passing. You know, if you watch television, and there are many gods and lords on television today, what they would call lords. But there's only one Lord. Amen. So, and thank God for that. Now, Psalm 19:14 is a great prayer verse to kind of govern your thinking in that regard. I pray this verse very, very often, because I learned through several years in my early Christian life that there was a lot of times I was actually for lack of a better word, say this, in a legal sense of the Word of God, doing that which was right, but my heart about the matter was not right. So this is what I pray often in Psalm 19:14: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because, you know, we can do that which is right, but what's the meditation of our heart about that? You know, like the old adage, I don't know if you heard it, a parent was talking to the young son and told the boy to sit down, and he sat down, and he said, well, yeah, I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know? And so he obeyed. But his heart was all messed up, or jacked up, as you say back home. But his heart was messed up, you know. He didn't have the right spirit about it. So this is a good prayer psalm, because we can do that which is right and still not really please the Lord in it. But if we ask God, this verse here is a way to set the Lord before us. We say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. So God, you know me, you see me, you know what's up with me. And so Lord, again, remember what we looked about in Psalms 26, he said, because thy loving kindness is before me. So I know your loving kindness, so Lord, I'm setting you before me. So Lord, would you look at my heart? I know I'm saying the right thing, but Lord, how am I saying the right thing? One of the things I learned early in my marriage, I can say the right thing to Susan, but you know, women are smart. They can tell if you don't have the right spirit about it. And they know if you can be saying the right thing, but your attitude not be right about it. And I began to learn, and I realized, even with my children, I learned that for several years I had what you would call a spirit of anger. I would maybe not be screaming or hollering at them, but just my very presence as I walked in emanated this angry spirit. And they would react to the angry spirit. And I realized that the meditation of my heart was not pure. And so I had to turn this over to the Lord. And now, by his grace, more and more, as I put the meditation of my heart, Lord, would they be acceptable in your sight? My spirit, my attitude changes to match the words that I'm saying and the actual things that I'm doing. You know, so I remember when I was in the military, the drill sergeant would be in my face, and he would give instruction, and he'd be about this far from my face, and he said, "You didn't like that, did you, Harper?" No, Sergeant. Harper, you don't like me, do you? and how do you answer that question? Anyway, let me go to a different illustration because that went to something bad. But anyway, they would ask you these questions, and what they were looking for, they would give you instruction, they would scream at you, and they would watch your face, and they could tell if your eyebrow even moved. I said, "Oh, Harper, I can tell you're mad. I saw the way your nostrils just flared. I saw the way your eyebrow moved. You want to fight me, Harper?" "No, Sergeant." You know, and they're looking for it, because they can tell, they're looking for you to say the right thing with the right attitude. Because what they're looking for is that you're going to go into combat, you're going to be in a war zone, and when things don't go your way, you've got to be under control. Because if you don't have that control, then somebody's going to die, you or somebody else. You know, and we're involved in the spiritual warfare. And most of us in this room are old enough to have enough experience with religion to recognize that just being in the right place, even doing the right thing, doesn't all have the right kind of fruit, you know. So our heart must be right, the meditation must be right, and we only get that by putting that before the Lord. Man oftentimes tries to figure it out and dictate that, but the best way is just to put your life before the Lord, set Him before you, say, "Lord, let the meditation, let the words of my mouth," looking at Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Because, Lord, you love me. I'm looking for you to examine me, and because my opinion doesn't always match your opinion. I think the scripture says that His ways are not our ways, and neither are our thoughts your thoughts. Number two, back in Psalm 16, when the Lord is always before me. Number two, the Lord is exalted as the strength and the authority of my life. Because notice what he says here, looking at Psalm 16, verse 8. He said, "Because he is at my right hand." Now, in the scriptures, when you read about the right hand, that's symbolic with power, and it's symbolic with authority. Samuel would be his left hand, you know, that's his dominant hand. But in the scriptures, it's power and authority. He said, when I set the Lord before me, he is what I rest in. He is the strength of my life. He's what I'm believing in. I'm resting. We read Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" The Lord is the strength of my life. And see, you can't come up with that by without setting God before you. I know many times in my life, I have believed in God, but I believed in God by virtue of what I could see in me. If I need to perform a hard physical test, I believed in God based on my past experience with my own body, what I thought I could do. I've said before, that's one of the reasons that God allowed me to hang those live turkeys, because that job brought me to the point of complete helplessness, to where I did not believe I could even make it another moment. I don't know if anybody ever been like that, but I mean, I'm telling you, my wife's seen me cry, and it's ugly when I cry. So, and well, y'all see me cry too, but isn't it ugly? Can I get rid of it? And when the Lord is before me, when I was in that situation, I mean, I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do." I mean, my wife would tell you, I was sitting on the side of the bed sometimes to cry, and I want to go to work. And I get myself back together, and finally I said, "Lord, you got me through yesterday. I asked you to get me through yesterday, and you did it. So would you just please help me to get through today?" And then I began to realize that God was exalted as a strength in my life, because I finally came to the realization that for what He had called me to do for that moment in my life, there was absolutely, definitely not enough strength in Reiner Harper to get it done. I mean, and have you ever been there? It can be a fearful place, but it's also a good place when you actually set the Lord before you, because then God is exalted. I think I shared this verse a couple weeks ago, but it'd be good to memorize it just a few pages over. Psalm 21 in verse number 13. This addresses exactly what I used to do, but in Psalm 21 verse 13, this is a prayer. "Be thou exalted, Lord," notice this, "in thine own strength." You know, many of y'all just pray that as a prayer of faith. Because, you know, I tell you, experience can limit what we think God can do. But we ask God to be exalted in His own strength, not the strength we have experienced in the past, not the strength that even we think we understand from a biblical standpoint, because we don't understand everything about God. That gives us the faith to set the parameters, which God says, without me, you can do nothing. And God says, all things are possible to believe with. And as we look at it within a framework of God's will, you know, I was listening to a song called I Want to Be Different. And his name is Michael Tyler, I think is his name. That's relevant to the song. But he was giving a testimony on how either, I can't remember, but a couple of relatives had cancer and were dying. He lived somewhere, and his house was flooded with 44 inches of rain. And he kept praying through these circumstances. He said, Lord, he kept asking God to change the circumstances. God, change the circumstances. God, change the circumstances. Then he finally realized, he said, God, change me. And sometimes the power that God wants to manifest in our lives is not by a change of circumstances, but by a change in us. That's what I found to hang a lot of turkeys. When I was on the dock dying, I didn't ask God to give me another job because I knew He put me down there. In other situations, I said, God, change me. Give me power. Give me the ability to do this. Says, Lord, be exalted in thine own strength. If you're a parent and you love your children, now I'm real. This thought may have crossed your mind, but you never sincerely ask the Lord to give you different children when they're going through having a difficult phase in their life. Am I right about it? But you do ask the Lord to change you, to give you ability to reach those children. And because we would never ask God for that, because we think, well, we love that child, though they may be difficult, though they may be hard to manage, and though we wish their character may change, we don't want a different set of children to work with. We want God's help to live in the moment with the children and family that we are currently in. And that happens when we ask God to be exalted in His own strength, because when we look at ourselves, we come up inventory, because when we lose patience, we don't have ability, we know, well, I can't do this. And so, Lord, you know, I don't have anything, so Lord, be exalted in your own strength. And when God, the Lord, is set before you, He is really exalted as the strength and the authority of your life. And that's a good place to be, because people that don't have God as strength and as authority of their life, they find out eventually that it fails. I mean, there's no sector of life that's not been touched now by suicide and discouragement and depression. And it doesn't mean that God's people never get discouraged, but when we set the Lord before us, we have vision, we have hope for tomorrow, because we, as we by faith, believe that all things work together for good, and then we believe God will take care of it. Number three, when the Lord is always before me. Now, this is a good one. Now, this is going to be hard to believe, unless you've ever walked this. My life is secure beyond human comprehension. My life is secure beyond human comprehension. Notice what he said in verse number 8. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, if you're born again, you believe that in reference to eternal security. Because if you know you're saved, that's one of the great things about the gospel that God wants you to know. What is it, 1 John 5:13? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. That's God's plan, because what would be the security if we were working through this and trying to hope one day, well, today I'm saved and born again, not today, but we'd be on this roller coaster ride, and many people with good intention are on that roller coaster ride. But David said, because I set the Lord always before me, and He's in my right hand, I shall not be moved. And the proof of this is that, you know, in those moments when He really is set before you, again, remember, set before your fears, set before your failures, set before your experience with Him. Because you can be truly born again and maybe walking in a low level of light, so to speak, maybe not really letting your life being governed by the Word of God. And, you know, I shared some other day that, you know, culture is such a trapping for all of us. And you may be walking in a cultural faith, you know, because many people just attend church because it's the thing to do. They're not really looking to hear from God and actually get and to really behold Him, you know. And so I realized with Morgan this week, traveling, you know, I realized I love having children, because then number one, they show me how weak my faith is. And number two, they show me how carnal I am. I learned a lot of things from that. But I was thinking about him, you know, nothing wrong with having a service gift for children, but I noticed as we were traveling, you know, we went to we went to a couple different places and had games and things like that in the churches, stuff like that. And I'm not condemning that at all. And so when we were traveling on a Wednesday night, and we were going to stay in a hotel, and I said, "Papa, does this hotel have a church?" Because he equated the two, the church and the Wednesday night. And I said, "Well, I think there is one nearby we can go into." And he was thinking about a child program. So he wasn't thinking about, and this is not a criticism of him because adults do the same thing. He wasn't thinking about whether I'm going to hear the Bible or not. He was thinking, was he going to be involved in a program that felt good to him? And I was thinking about him and his life and even other children raised and walking with him. I realized something about me even that was a challenge to me. I thought, this thought crossed my mind that, you know, he is completely, perfectly obedient. So I woke Samuel up with that one. As long as he gets what he wants from me. And so I asked myself about myself and God. You know, my obedience, I can just be honest. When I'm getting everything I want from God, man, me, it's going great. Hey, praise the Lord. God is good. What a wonderful, what a mighty God we serve. But in those times, I had to ask myself, okay, Lord, but what about, how do I respond when I don't get from God what I want from God? And I start thinking about my challenging son that I love dearly. And I said, Lord. Now see, I'm older and a little bit dignified, so I know how to fake it. You know, I may not do this. My children know what's up with that, but so they do. And I may not throw an outward tantrum. But you know what? I can be visibly different. I can be noticeably different. And nobody else may know what's going on. In fact, even, thank you, Lord, this is good. Somebody else could visit our home, and they may not even know what's going on. But those that are in the family, when those things are happening, they know what's up. Why he's acting that way, that didn't happen, oh man. And same true with the family of God. But the great news is that if we honestly, this is true now, that when we set the Lord before us, our lives are actually secure beyond human comprehension. We read about people like that in the Bible. One that I mentioned probably almost every third service or every other service is Stephen. I mean, he's preaching the Word of God. The Bible says they could not resist the Spirit nor the wisdom that he gave unto them. That means Stephen is saying everything right. And they were, you know how they responded to that? They gnashed on him with their teeth. They wanted to bite the man to death. And in the midst of all that, when they came and bit him, he said, "If I see, the heavens open." And Jesus standing, you know, and he saw the glory, he beheld the beauty of the Lord, you know. He wasn't moved. He didn't say, "Well, okay, you guys are right. I'll come back and preach on the Sunday. What message do I want to hear?" No, he said truth. Psalm 55, 22, encouraging verse regarding that truth we just shared. Psalm 55, I remember sharing this with Sister Charlotte, now Charlotte Rose, when she was going through a difficult time after losing her husband here. Psalm 55:22, I've shared it with numerous people, but I remember how it helped her. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." Anybody here? It says, and he might sustain thee. I said, he shall sustain thee. That means he'll do it. But you know, we got to let go. But they cast a burden, let him have it. "Cast a burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee." Notice this, he shall never. What does never mean? It means never. Does it mean never? Does never mean never? That means not happening, right? Okay. "He shall never suffer." Now the word "suffer" here is an old English word that means allow. In this context here, the word "suffer" is allow. But he will never suffer, or he shall never allow the righteous to be moved. But you got to give him the burden. Man, just like, I mean, really think about it. You know, if I could pick this up and set this on your back, this pulpit here thing on behind, how far you think you could go with that? Anybody think you could get any distance? Sam was about the only one that probably tried. He's got his father's strong will, and which is a blessing, by the way. And because I'd probably try. even old as I am, I got enough. I'll leave that alone. But anyway, if you did try, you still wouldn't get very far. And everybody's looking on. Would you be surprised if this was on your back that you didn't get very far? And guess what? Somebody said, you know what? If I said right now, come here just for a second. And I had everybody line up here, and I said, if you just walk from here to the back door, then there's $25,000 waiting for everybody out there with your name on it. And I said, wait just a minute. Let me set this on your back, and then somebody tries to get out there. But if you were listening to the instructions, it didn't say you had to carry this, did it? I just said you had to get to the back door. And what happens oftentimes is blessings in the presence of the Lord awaiting us, but we carry a lot of things we don't even have to do. Just because some voice tells us we can to carry something, we don't have to carry it. You know, a lot of burdens we have, we can let go. Psalm 112, this is a good psalm. Read this, meditate on it later. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That means the man that respects God's opinion over their own opinion. That values God's word as that which is right. Feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely, here it is, just what we're looking for. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. And you know, I pointed out several times about the little maid that was had faith and just said that he could be healed by the prophet. I mean, she's everlasting remembered. We don't even know her name, but she had a righteous faith that God could do anything. He should not be afraid of evil tidings. Verse 7, here it is again. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He should not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. Praise God. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen. Psalm 16. That's number 3. Now number 4. Now wake up just for a second and catch this one. This is good. I know you hadn't been sleeping, but you've been trying, but I've been talking too loud, so it's okay. I'm just teasing. But Psalm 16, so when the Lord is always before me, now notice this, looking at verse 9, my heart is glad and the longings of my flesh are satisfied. My heart is glad and the longings of my flesh are satisfied. Notice verse 9, Psalm 16. Therefore my heart is glad, notice this, and my glory rejoices. Notice, this is powerful here. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Yeah, we say, you know, it's funny how I think sometimes in our circle we often exalt the flesh too much. I made a note here to myself, too often we emphasize man's humanity instead of God's sovereignty. We look so much at our propensity to fail, we don't look at God's ability to overcome and allow us to actually work through us and do that which is pleasing in His sight. But He says here, He said, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh shall rest. Now that's contrary to anything we have going on in the world today, because you know you're not really supposed to rest. I mean, and everything's designed to keep us looking and busy and wanting and desiring and not being content with anything. But one of the most powerful things you can have in life is the ability to be content. And the psalmist says here, when the Lord is always before me, he said, therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, and my flesh So rest in hope. Not just rest, but rest in hope. That's pretty amazing that would be that way. Anybody wish your flesh could be at rest in hope? I'm not talking about just rest in the grave, but rest in hope. Because hope maketh not ashamed, the Bible says. And the hope is in the Lord. Think about the things that are on your mind that your flesh can't rest about. And God says, just set him before you. Set him always before you. Your heart shall be glad. Your glory, my glory rejoice. My flesh shall rest in hope. Number five. When the Lord is always before me, now this is, the Lord will deliver me from the most difficult and dark situations that one can experience. The Lord will deliver me from the most difficult and dark situations that one can experience. Notice verse 10. Now this is pretty amazing if you catch this. He said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now this is at this point where these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And so, can you imagine? Somebody tell me, like you look like you're awake back there. What, tell me what you know about hell. Yes, yeah, hard place and hot. Somebody else tell me what you know about hell. Lonely? Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah, it's totally dark, it's lonely. And there's not any fellows going in hell. What else? Unquenchable fire. That means there's no relief from it, ever. What else? Morgan? Yeah, there's no food in hell. Yeah, true. No wrong answer. But basically, you get the idea. It's the place of obviously the worm dieth not. Total dark. It's like falling, never coming to an end. It's an endless place of darkness. And here's the Son of God knowing what hell is. And he set the Lord before him. He said, you know what? He's ready to face hell. He knows he's got to go to pay the redemption for the souls of the world. But he said, because the Lord is before me, I can face that. Can you imagine having I wouldn't want to go to hell for 5 minutes. I remember Curtis Hudson preaching years ago. He said, I really wish we could all ride down to hell in Greyhound buses for 5 minutes. And to see the darkness and the heat and the despair. He said, we would all come out of hell telling everybody about Jesus Christ. Because when we really recognize how horrible that is. And I just can't imagine even facing that for 5 minutes. I wouldn't want to. But because the Lord is always before him, he says, you know what? I can face it because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He's saying, you know what? I can go down to this dark, abysmal place, and you're not going to leave me there. But better than that, you're not going to allow me to even be corrupted while I'm down there. That's amazing. That happens when you set the Lord always before you. Number six, he said, when the Lord is always before me, the Lord will show me the path of life. He said right there, verse 11. That was easy, wasn't it? See how easy it is to read the Bible? Thou will show me the path of life. You know, I really wanted to write down, and actually when I was writing notes, I wrote down, thou will show me the path and purpose. That's what originally I wrote down, but I realized it didn't say that. And I realized that God didn't always show us our purpose. And a lot of people's lives are in endless turmoil looking for their purpose instead of looking for the path. The Bible says, somebody say, man, if you know this to be true, that the steps of the good man ordered of the Lord. Is that right? He didn't always say the path, the purpose isn't always known, but the path is made known. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? And it makes perfect sense because Matthew chapter 6, verse number 34 says, take no thought for the morrow. For the things of the morrow should take the thought of themselves. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Many people would enjoy the day if they stop thinking about tomorrow. But we can just praise God. We just let tomorrow go. anybody facing jail as soon as this service is over? Anybody looking to be assassinated when they go out this room? Anybody got at least 13 cents in the bank? I mean, I've been negative and still been able to praise God. And anyway, that's the truth, though. And thank God for that. You know, can you imagine to be negative in your bank account and to have clothes and shoes and food? But that's amazing. What an amazing life we actually can live in North America. I mean, to God be the glory, you know. And so the only thing that makes you worry about, well, what can I do with that negative tomorrow? Well, it depends on how good your line of credit is. You can go further negative, or maybe your purchase get cut off. Well, who knows? Depending on how your system goes. But the point I'm making is that for that moment, your circumstance day today really is okay. But that tomorrow factor is what hinders you from praising God and blessing God and actually seeing God as He is. And that only happens when you set Him before you and realize, okay, wait. Now, I think there's a verse in the Bible that says He is the everlasting Father. God, the perfect Father, never fails. That means that, okay, He'll take care of that. I'll let God have tomorrow. In fact, I'll just let Him have today. I'll set Him before me today. And then guess what? My soul, my heart is glad. My glory rested. My flesh will rest in hope. Hey, even if I face something as visible and dark as hell, God's not going to leave me there. He's not going to allow me even to be corrupted. He's not going to allow me to taint who I am. I'll be able to finish and do what God put me on this earth to do. But then He said, that will show me the path of life. If we just let go of the purpose. You know, it's true, God don't mind us asking why, but He won't always tell us why. Now, I think sometimes He does tell us why, but I think sometimes He doesn't. Because sometimes it's all about faith, you know, and you're just going to go trust the Lord and do what He says, and then all of a sudden, you look back one day, is that what that was about? I mean, there's many things I've learned later. Oh, that's why you did that, Lord. And thank God for that. But that will show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand, there are pleasure evermore. And I only have six, but I'm going to say this, and I'm looking at it right now. When the Lord's always before me, you will walk and experience the reality of what strength really is, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Because He said, in Thy presence is fullness of joy. And how often Satan tries to steal the joy of the child of God. Because, I mean, he knows you won't praise Him. He knows you won't talk to Him. He knows you won't fellowship with Him. He knows you'll lose motivation to please Him. And that's why the psalmist says, all these powerful things happened in my life when I just set the Lord always before me. But it's got to be a choice. Because he didn't say, the prophet of the generation set the Lord before me. And David did listen to the prophet. He said, I set Him before you. As much as I may try, my faith can't govern. I can't set the Lord before you. I can show you where He's at. And you have to make a decision whether or not you will set Him before you. And I can tell you the truth. Everything I just preached, I know personally to be true. But I also tell you, I know what's like when I don't set Him before me. None of these things are true when I don't set Him before me. But every moment that God has set before me, I tell you, it's amazing the things that God does, confidence in the midst of trials and difficulties, joy when the world can't figure out the reason to have joy. I mean, and just to behold the beauty of the Lord and just to see Him in everything that's going on. It's amazing life, you know, because everything, God really lets us know. There's a verse Paul said in the New Testament, I can't think, probably in the book of Corinthians, but Paul makes this statement that you may not believe it depending on what you're going through right now, but he says, our light affliction is but for a moment. Now, it doesn't feel, and you find it hard to believe when you're going through a difficult trial or circumstance, but that's the Word of God governing everything that we're going through. So when this life is over and you meet the Lord, you're going to see how light any affliction we had goes to. Because, I mean, if you're born again and you have, that means you receive eternal life from God. If you live, let's just exaggerate, say you live to be 150 years, You know what that's going to be like compared to eternity, like forever, forever and ever in the presence of Almighty God? It's going to be light, no matter how difficult it was. And you can realize that, and God said, just recognize it now. I just said it before you now, and recognize that, you know what? What you may be walking through may seem like hell to you, but if you just set me before you, you'll not be moved. In fact, you'll have joy. And even your flesh shall rest, not in the grave, that's coming later, but your flesh shall rest in hope. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but my flesh drives me crazy sometimes. But oh, my soul is a great thing when it has rest. When it says, you know, we sing that song, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. And God says, you can know that for sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for this precious opportunity to preach thy truth. And Father, I know it is your desire because you put this in your word. I pray you help every single one of us to set you always before ourselves. And I thank you for how you will reward your creation by simply setting you before ourselves. Help us now to do thy will. I pray that our response to your truth in word and the meditation of heart will be pleasing in your sight. I ask this through the power and the authority of the name that is above every name, and his name is Jesus. And all God's people said,